Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Thursday, and it is 9:52 p.m. Here right now in what was a very, very mild London day. Okay. Now, did you know yesterday that this was going to be an all-change day in the markets today? Well, I certainly didn't, although I guess maybe we had some little clues. For instance, I talked in last night's audio about the key day reversal that we saw on the S&P 500 index. You had to look closely to see it, and the other U.S. indices retraced all of Tuesday's rally in here. So there were certainly maybe little hints, but that doesn't quite explain the whole nervous twitch. More on that in a minute, but I think I should go through the stock markets in sequence as I usually do. Because not everything was affected, but certainly Europe and the USA and Americas were. Okay. Now, starting with the Asia Pacific though, Japan, fractionally higher, minimal. Tiny gains here. That looks like real strength relative to what happened in Europe and the USA. But the bigger story here is China mainland indices, not the Hang Seng indices, but the China mainland. We had a big day yesterday in the Shanghai Composite, and it had a solid 1.35% gain today. Taking it back up to 3,584 and change. Now, what's that done? Well, it has virtually recovered the big downside dynamic that we had seen last Friday. So that's a positive development, and mainland China is looking steady, but the Hong Kong indices are they're oversold and they need some catching up. I wouldn't be surprised if they had a somewhat better day tomorrow, partly because the dollar has weakened in here. More on that in a minute. Other Asia Pacific indices were mostly lower, all under 1%, but lower nevertheless, including India down 0.89 of a percent. So some weakness there. But now the real story starts in Europe. And this was just absolutely clobbered. Now people said, well, they blamed the Mario Draghi's comments and that yes, he was lowering rates, but not as much as people expected that he might do. And so they were splitting hairs on this. And you can read what you want into Draghi's actions and comments, but I think really that's just the proverbial straw that broke the camel's back, as it were. We've got other things for them to worry about in Europe, not least the refugee stroke immigration or immigrant crisis that's taking place, not least the building war against Daesh, and that has two rumbling participants there: the loose cannon Russia, led by Putin, and of course, also Turkey. And people are saying that, well, just a few months ago, lots of articles were appearing about how Turkey was spoiling democracy, and or its democracy, and that meant that it was certainly not going to be successful in entering the European Union, which it wishes to do, for some reason. And now we have much. Well, people are no longer talking about what Erdogan is doing to democracy, because he's over there with a military representation in the Middle East. So you've got Europe now looking more kindly, so it seems, on the possibility of Turkey joining the EU. And on the other hand, here today, this sensible Danish nation voted against closer ties with the EU. They don't want to have that, and they kept their 1992 agreement, which is arm's length. No closer integration. What a surprise. All right, what about these stock markets in here? The two biggest are Germany, in terms of today's action, are Germany and France, down 3.58%. That really is huge. 400 points for the German DAX index. And the other gains were, or losses rather, they're all losses. Were also significant, 3.61% for the Euro Stoxx 50 index, and we had, well, you're almost a star if it's under 2%, as Switzerland was, but of course it's not in the EU. So a lot of nervousness in the EU equities. Now, this plays havoc with traders, but if you are a medium to longer term investor, this is looking fairly, well, starting to look a little bit more interesting. Technically, overall, these downward dynamics that we see today in Europe have taken most of these indices a lot closer to those mid-November lows that I've been talking about in the earlier audios, because that was the initial support level, that higher low mid-November. So they're now within easy reaching distance, whereas it looked like they had a bit of a comfortable cushion before today's big downward dynamics. What do we need to see to offset that risk? Well, we'd need to see no follow through tomorrow, or at least not during the closing. We'd need to see a fairly sharp bounce back. Will that take place? Well, that would surprise me somewhat if it did. And my feeling, though, is that this is a squall overall. Lots of nervousness. It's easy to understand why that's the case, given the factors that I mentioned a few minutes ago. And if we do take out those November lows for more than a day or two, then that's just going to tell us that we're in a longer reactive and consolidation process here overall. I don't think it's the beginning of a big bust up. There hasn't been any big significant policy change here in Europe, but they certainly are carrying the investors are worried. And I think also, you know, you've got those marauding machines, the high-frequency traders, the elephants in the room that account for most of the volume, and that increases the actual volatility. As I say, it helps medium to longer-term investors with a buy-low, sell-high approach, causes havoc with traders. Okay, what did Wall Street do? Well, it was weak. And it was weak yesterday, and we got follow-through here today for sure. The Dow down 1.42, S&P 1.44, NASDAQ composite 1.67. We're going to see, unless we get a good rally tomorrow, we're going to see a lot of weekly key reversals in here this week. You'd see those by Friday's closes. Canada a little bit weaker, and Mexico, but a lot of the commodities rallied, so they didn't get hit that hard, about 1%. And guess what? Brazil up 3.29%. Why? Well, they're talking about impeaching their leader Dilma Rousseff, and that would certainly be understandable. And when we had the encouraging upset of governments taking place in Argentina, you know, when we saw the Peronists heaved out, and so you went from a left-wing government to a more of a right wing, I'm talking about economic policies here, right wing government led by an economist. And I thought, well, that may well start ripples throughout the continent. And this action in Brazil and the move to impeach Rousseff looks like it's part of that. Okay, so where are these stock markets going to go? Well, again, I'm going to call it a squall in here overall. People are also maybe a little bit nervous about what's taking place. Well, that Fed rate to cut, but rate hike, I beg your pardon. Fed raising the bank rate a quarter of a point in the middle of this month. But, I think again it'll be nervous, sort of choppy, but I don't think it's any more than a squall to repeat that point. Okay, what else happened? Well, plenty of all change. Again, U.S. Treasury bond yields, they had been just, I'd describe them as drifting lower. They've been drifting lower for almost a month. Today we had a big upward dynamic in the yields. U.S. 10 years. They were, when I mentioned them yesterday, they were 2.17, and today they're 2.32 on the close. So big upward dynamic, and that reaffirms my contention that what we're seeing is a ranging time and size base formation development in those bond yields, and that that's a dangerous place to be. And I think some of the bulls would have been, or people who are long in those markets, would have drawn comfort from that drifting down in yields. Well, I think that those who should feel comfortable are those who took the opportunity to take some profits and get out of there, because that's a significant medium to longer term risk, I think, in those government bonds. Yields will move higher as the U.S. economy continues to improve. And the VIX index up, I think, 2.25 points nearly to 18.11. And let's look at some of these. Now, the dollar, that's very interesting. Because the dollar index, which had spent a few days right around that 100 level, a little above that 100 level, actually saw a new recovery high. Was it yesterday or the day before? I think it was yesterday. But what did we see in here today? Sharp downward reaction. So it's currently after hours trading at 97.837, 97.837. It had been up at 100.47 at the high today. The low's been 97.59. Now, so it's not all that far above that low. Provided we don't get the dollar index pushing straight back upwards tomorrow. And after this downward dynamic, what it looks like on the chart is an upside failure. But really, to confirm that it's a significant, potentially significant upside failure, we would need to see some follow-through by the close on Wall Street tomorrow. In other words, a little bit more to the downside. If it rallies strongly, well, it was just a spasm, and we're back into a appreciating U.S. dollar index. But what we do know, now this is good news in here at a time when a lot of people are nervous, because the last thing Janet Yellen, chairman of the Fed, wants is an appreciating dollar index. It's certainly gone up more than enough this year. That causes big problems for those U.S. autonomies, those big multinational corporations, because it erodes their earnings in U.S. dollars. It weakens the U.S. economy, and therefore, if we get a further downward reaction in the dollar index tomorrow, then that will be a good sign that will help to underpin Wall Street's gains, and it will also take reduce some of the pressure that some of those emerging markets have been experiencing. Those are the ones that borrowed in dollars because, of course, it's a highly liquid, the most liquid currency by far. And it was always so cheap, wasn't it? Well, up until a little over a year ago, and it started appreciating quite strongly. So, a little respite here today in the strength of the greenback. And guess what? The euro, well, that kited higher. Here, currently trading at 1.0940. So that's it's seen quite a volatile day. It had opened at 1.0615, and a lot of short covering in there. I think that's a factor. Some of the things the markets that had seen strong trends from the middle of November. They're among those that got the sharpest reversals. So reversing out of long positions where we'd seen good rallies and short covering where we had seen the big big declines overall. A few other currencies, we didn't have much of a change in the Asia Pacific region. Commodity currencies a little firmer for the most part. The Australian dollar, a little higher, 0.7342. The sterling, higher, 1.5146. So this is pretty much a story of a strong dollar, as I say, having this big downward dynamic today. I'm just going to take a little quick drink. Okay. Now, in these commodities, again, well, I mentioned that the commodity indices, the CCI, that's a continuous commodity index, a good rally off its lows in here today. Brent crude is at 44.07, that's up $1.58, and so not following through on that downside move, at least not today. And the WTI 1.33. Don't forget, we've got that OPEC meeting coming up next week, I believe. And everybody's saying that there's no way that they're going to, that the Saudis are going to change their policy. Well, it's only a matter of time before the Saudis change their policy, I maintain. Said this yesterday as well. And there are some very big short positions in these depressed commodities. Okay, what else did we see in here today? Precious metals higher across the boards. The palladium up $12.50 to $538 and change. Silver, which had been very weak yesterday, back above 14 to 14.05 and a half, and the platinum up $15.60 to 848. Gold bullion, which was hit hard yesterday, regain all of it but regained $9 worth, 1062 and change. Industrial metals also somewhat firmer. High-grade copper up 2.5 cents to 205.85, and the softs are higher. The ones that I can see, that's soybeans, corn, wheat. What about rough rice? No, rough rice is not higher, but only slightly lower. White sugar firm. As well, lumber, a good move on the upside. So the majority of commodities benefiting from short covering in here. Well, it's an exciting day. I think we'll probably have some more excitement tomorrow. I, alas, will not be here tomorrow to produce my copy or the audio. I'll be back on Monday. And on that note, all the very best to all of you.